Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
I'm here today to bring you the Word to start your year. Now, yesterday I had the privilege to conduct a ROM. ROM is Registration of Marriage for a former church youth. When she first contacted me from overseas and told me that she's getting married back home, like me to sign their ROM, my first response to her was, wait, aren't you like 20 years old? Why are you getting married so early? Then she said, no lah, Pastor, you're already. I'm already turning 24. Of course, to some of us, 24 is actually quite young lah, to be married. But time does pass us so quickly. And before I know it, all these so-called former youth of mine have grown to become young men and young women ready to settle down. Time does this to us. We age as every year passes us by. We grow in our physical age. It feels like just yesterday that I was 36, joined PJEFC as a pastor, young and fresh and full of energy, ready to give my all to conquer the youth ministry of PJEFC. I was known to many people as the energized bunny. Hera? I feel like I can never run out of energy and passion. I can eat as many cakes and seal yolk as possible, and still my high metabolism keep me fit and healthy. And then I hit 42. I spotted more white hair and feels a bit older, but it wasn't until last year I sensed a dip of energy, becoming more forgetful, and found out that I can grow sideways too. So I need to watch what I eat and perhaps exercise more. Now all these are part and parcel of growing older, part or parcel of aging. This is the physical part. But what about my spiritual life, I asked. As time passes me by, do I also experience spiritual growth in tandem with my physical growth? Over Christmas time, I read the Gospel of John, and I came to this verse, John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. To all who receive Jesus, we are born again to a new life. But that journey doesn't stop there. It only merely begun. Edison, a brother in Christ now, he was most probably the most committed non-Christian that have ever joined PJEFC. Unless something very important crop up like today, he will come with his wife and his two kids and he will be sitting nearer to the presence of God, which is right there, where Reverend Dickie is. And you'll be here listening to the sermon while the children go over to Sunday school together with the wife. So last year, November, our new member, Bernie, and the wife, Chingy, we talk about starting a new cell group in nearer to where they stay. And happy to announce that just before Christmas, this brother, Edison, decided to follow Jesus. My happy moment was that I get to sit with him and pray with him to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And then among many other things, after I prayed that prayer, I told him this. Okay, Edison, the journey has just started for you. So right now, you need to diligently study the Bible. You need to pray, coming to know God, wake up early in the morning, pray, worship the Lord. And you need to grow in intimacy with God, even as you develop this spiritual habit of discipline. You have the responsibility to make sure that this journey is not just Jesus bringing you. You have the responsibility to make sure you walk on this track of transformation. And he is so committed that when he hears that there is a watch night being announced, even though it was last minute, Bernie and he came over to the watch night last week to pray to start the year anew. Apostle Paul, when writing to the Christians in Colossae, reminds us of the same. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So at this first Sunday of a new year, I want to start our year with something very basic but necessary. And that is to receive Jesus as Lord is to grow in him. And Paul gave us four metaphors, four pictures, each conveying the idea of how we could grow. The Colossians have received the proclamation about Christ. Verse 7, they were taught the faith. What did the faith say? The faith that teaches them that Jesus died for them, was buried, and then was raised again. And having now understood this faith, they must continue to live in him. Or as the ESV translation, which I prefer, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk, which is a more literal translation or rendering of the Greek term peripatio that is used here. Walk is one of my favorite words of all times. Gary says to me often that I cannot just walk to exercise if I was to burn the fats in my body. You must run. Do running. It burns more than twice as many calories per minute than walking. But I'm lazy. And besides, I think scripturally, the Bible mentions more about walking with the Lord than running with him. Walking is often used in scripture as a way of speaking about our life with God. God asked Abraham, pack up your stuff and walk with me to the promised land. Many times when Moses was addressing the Israelites people, he gave instruction to God's people and he said, walk and in that precise path that God has shown you so that it may be well with you and your family and the next generation. The thing that Israel must remember to do is to keep the Lord's commandment and walk in his ways. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, Lord, so that I might walk in your truth. And the prophet Micah famously called God's people to walk humbly with God and in his justice and in his mercy. When we come to the New Testament, the same image of walking is also found throughout the entire Bible. John, we are called to walk in the light. Paul tells the Romans to walk in the newness of life, and he charged the Christians in Thessalonica and Ephesians, for example, and he says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, of the calling that he has given you, and walk in that same manner when we come to Colossians. Just prior to that, prior to our passage today, chapter 1, Paul already said when he prayed for them to be filled with the knowledge of his will so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So in the New Testament, walking in Christ is a way of life for those who have chosen Jesus as Lord. It describes a life that ought to be as natural as breathing, natural as growing sideways when you hit 40. Our spiritual growth and progress ought to go hand in hand with our physical growth and development as a person. And life, walking spiritually requires strength and stamina, involves direction and destination, and a resolve to avoid pitfalls and overcome certain temptations in order to stay on the course. When Micah was a baby, I often wish he could walk faster because, you know, I hate carrying things around. God answered my prayer when he started walking at 11th month. But every parent here know that it takes them a while to perfect their walk because they need to strengthen their muscles. When a couple of my couple friend or my previous church wanted to get married in a few months' time, after they hear that Micah could walk already, instead of asking his best man, the groom requested Micah to be their wedding ring bearer. We said yes, underestimated the challenge to get a 15-month-year-old boy to walk a distance of less than 20 meters with so many strangers looking at him without dropping the ring or be distracted halfway you turn or sit down and cry or worse, swallow the ring. Happy to say, this was what went down. So cute, huh? Let's watch Beautiful Thing again. So, I think that's the fattest my son ever been. There were temptation and distraction left and right. The faces looking at him were quite daunting, but what I believe in the end helped my boy to stay on course was he knew that instruction, he knew the direction and the destination. So I told him, Ka, you only have one job today. This is your moment. This is the ring pillow. Take it, walk straight. Hold on to the ring pillow at all costs. Walk until you reach mommy, because I was the MC for the wedding. I'll be right in front, okay? Not very hard, right? Don't look at the other people. Don't get scared of all the noises. Just walk straight until you reach mommy. I am your destination. Therefore, just as you receive Christ, we must walk in him, which basically means continue to persevere, grow, stay on course for Jesus. Now, I've been a Christian since Form 1. That's 33 years ago. Looking back, I haven't always walked in God's ways. My schooling years in Australia, I actually walked out of God's ways. And this is not about attending church. If attending church equates our spirituality and our maturity and our growth, I think I rank number one, quite faithful going to church. But going to church Sunday after Sunday with little or no transformation here, with no passion, with no excitement, with no resolve to want to grow in Christ. That is very sad, actually, for followers of Jesus Christ, and that's not the will of God for us. Looking back, I definitely love sin more than I love God. I received Christ and called him Lord, but I did not continue to walk in him. When God found me back, I still stumbled at times, trying to stray away. I had given in to temptations and distractions that pulled me away from walking in ways that honor him. Some days, more successful, I stay on the path. Now, I like to think that I learned from all these experiences, and I concluded that our walk with God mostly is about choices that we make. It is a choice to stay where I am in my relationship with God, or I could draw closer. It is a choice to stay on the shallow, or to go deeper still in our relationship with Jesus. It's a choice to carry that ring for the groom, but halfway decide to quit. Or we can resolve to persevere and carry it to the very end, receiving a well done from the groom. Shall we pray? Lord, as your word goes forth today, may it dwell richly in us. Cancel whatever that I speak that is not from you, but those that are from you, Lord, let it fall on fertile ground, ground that will bear fruit of a thousandfold for you. May your word flourishes with time and bears fruit among your people. Amen. Paul gave us four dimensions of this walking in Christ that will build our stamina and help us to stay on course for him. These dimensions actually already appeared much earlier in Colossians chapter 1, 10 to 12, when he prayed for them. Now, the sequence is identical, from walking to rootedness and growth, all flowing into a life of flourishing in gratitude. Three simple points today to start your year. Build deep. Build deep in Christ and building deeper still in Christ. Build deep. A bit of context of what was happening so we can discern the urgency of Paul's exhortation to grow. Now, Paul wrote this letter to expose and oppose the false teachings that were circulating in the young church, which has demoted Jesus to a minor place in their worship experience. Paul called this teaching in chapter 2, verse 8 to 23. He used this word. He called this teaching hollow and deceptive philosophy. This philosophy says that Christians need visions, angel worship, festivals, rituals, dietary restrictions, and even asceticism to please God. And when you subscribe to such teachings, they undermine the adequacy of Jesus. If they are to grow as Christians, increasing in wisdom, in thanksgiving, in power, all those things that Paul prayed for them in chapter 1, they need to know Jesus alone is supreme, and that what he has done on the cross for each and every one of them is enough, is sufficient. Paul knows that the opponents offered persuasive religious arguments, and reality is every generation of Christians faces such threats. You hear from Pastor Jeremy, you heard of Pastor Priscilla, that these false teachings are ongoing, even in our generation. And the best defense against such persuasion is not to avoid them or cancel them, or even argue back, especially if they already made up their mind to want to change your mind. Paul says, you. Instead of doing all this, Paul says, you. You do something about yourself. You cannot control the opponents. You cannot control what false teaching will flourish at any given day. But you can take charge of how you live. And that is to be rooted and built up, established in the faith that you were taught, so that you don't be easily deceived by any clever arguments. Paul uses his first metaphor, and it's a gardening one, rooted. We know this as a fact. Trees and plants would wither and die without roots. Or you can give it to me, because they will die even with roots, because I'm so bad with plants. It's the root that absorbs the water and the nutrients from the soil and then gives the plant the stability to grow well. Unless a plant builds really deep, builds its roots really deep into the ground, when storms or rain or heavy rains, dangerous elements that come around to try to pull it out from where it is, it will be uprooted easily, just as what the parable of the sower teaches us in Luke chapter 8. There are four different soils that a parable sower tells us: hard, rocky, thorny, and good soil. And it's the rocky soil that gives us a picture of how important the root is to the plant. The sower sows the seed, and some fell on rocky ground. And when it came out, they find out that the plants withered. Why? Because they had no moisture. Why? Because there are no roots. Luke 8:13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Now, we may receive Christ through receiving his word, and we become all enthusiastic after professing faith in Jesus. But because we never allow the faith to really, truly take root in our heart, when difficult situation arises, we can't endure and begin to fall away because we are not drawing strength and stability from being rooted in Jesus. It's the same for those seed sown among the thorns. Talking about those who receive Jesus, but then because we are so preoccupied with the cares of the world, with doing life, and with so many other conflicting priorities, as time passes by, we neglect building deep in him. Essentially, the parable of the sower is saying that the gospel never really takes root in our lives. Being rooted and built up is so crucial, for these priorities are what that will sustain us as we are established in our faith. Now, some commentators interpret the word established as a legal metaphor. Paul is likely using it to say they will be strengthened in the faith as they continue to commit to the truth, just as they were taught. In other words, Paul is challenging the Colossians, grow deeper in what you know and in whom you know, in order to prevent you from being seduced by false teachings that do not exalt Christ. So what are we doing in our life right now to plant our roots so deep, so that our walk with the Lord is one that is firmly planted and not easily uprooted when tough times or undesirable circumstances come find us? Is our faith able to withstand extreme conditions? Only a deep-rooted faith will preserve us through all the different seasons of our life and allow us to flourish. And not only are we to be deeply rooted, but deeply rooted in Christ, consistent with what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 4 to 7, on the importance of remaining in him in order to bear fruit. Now, Paul gives a similar idea with that, which is found in the second metaphor on building, build up. Christ is the foundation, and we are to build on Christ and not on any other foundations, such as our own wisdom, ability, intellect, our riches, our giftedness, our charisma. These are all good things in life. And as we freely receive from the Lord, we ought to cultivate them so that we be more effective, be more fruitful in ministry, and we hone these gifts so to serve the church and the world. But they cannot. These things cannot be the foundation out of which we operate. We cannot build our lives based on other foundation besides the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, And what he has said, for what we choose to build our lives upon has the power to direct the course for our life. What we choose to build our lives upon has the power to direct the course of our life. For example, during the pandemic, I know some of my friends, some of us here, chose to build their lives around misinformation or fake news or controversies. Take vaccine and the side effects will kill you. I do not know how many times I received forwarded WhatsApp messages that say, just drink warm water and apple and ginger juice, and you will survive COVID. Avoid vaccine. Some Christians resisted it because they built their foundation on the truth that the vaccine is the mark of the devil. And some even accuse and write to the church, saying that we are complicit with the evil one. If we build our trust in misinformation and bad data and consume them as truth to let it guide our lives and our decisions, it will have consequences. Sometimes severe consequences. What we choose to build our lives upon has the power to direct the course of our life. You all know last year I had to cancel a trip to Nias due to COVID. I was supposed to do a teaching with the Chelly staff on this important topic called building our identity in Christ, a request by Reverend Ria herself, for she feels that some of her members need to know who they really are in Christ and to serve out of that confidence. So if I were there, which I wasn't, I would have spoken of this observation that I have, especially on younger people, that instead of building our lives upon the truth of God, many of us choose to build our lives around people's opinions on us. We feed in people's accusation about us. We feed in expectation others have piled up on us, and they remain unchallenged and unfiltered for many, many years. Maybe it's something that our parents have said, friends have commented, social media that we consume. These assumptions, these opinions are stuck with us for so long, and sometimes it becomes a big part of our psyche, it directs the way we live. We do not build our identity or value on fleeting opinions of others, but instead build deep in Christ, in His truth. Know what He said about us, so that His voice will be the only one we heed to and how He wants us to grow. Build deep in Jesus' priorities. Know what pleases God and know what doesn't. Be like the wise builder who built his house on the rock in Matthew chapter 7, who immersed himself in Jesus' words, put them into practice. Even when rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, it will not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's build deep our lives in Christ, the only firm foundation, for every other foundation is just not worth it. Lastly, Paul says, just as you receive Christ, continue to. The pastors and elders and deacons of PJSC come together every Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 to pray. On 25th November, when we met, I did a spiritual assessment of our year, or what Elder Chairman did with us last week, stock take our lives. And I asked us this question, anticipating this year's theme. What are those areas we have faltered last year or remain stagnant and need to resolve to build deeper still in Him? I ask our elders, deacons, and pastors first, because as leaders, I believe we are to lead by example, to strive, and to make every effort in continuing to live our lives in Christ, to grow continually. As you look at the slide right now, any of these areas that you need to grow deeper this coming year? Is it in the area of loving one another, as exhorted by Chairman last year? As a church, do you think we should grow deeper still in the area of oneness or unity? Or how about this list in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3-11, my favorite list in the Bible, that talks about growing in increasing measure? Add to faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, self-control, and to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness to mutual affection, and mutual affection love. If you possess all these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have we grown in any of these qualities last year? Do you think we need to make an effort to add on any of them? Or are we stagnant in our walk with Christ and we think it's perfectly okay to remain where we are and refuse to grow? No need to grow lah. I just be where I am lah. Serving already, what? Don't regress, then okay lah. Better than my CG member anyway. Yeah, like what Elder Kong Wing say in the Holy Communion just now. Some of us are like Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. Only God is supposed to be like that. God is immutable, unchanging. We need to continually be transformed to be more like Jesus and to align with our passage. How about building deeper in our thankfulness to God this year? The first three participles we'll look at, rooted, built up, established, or strengthened, are all in passive form. Emphasize more on what God could accomplish. A lot of growth is God accomplishing on our behalf. The final one, which is this one, overflowing with thankfulness or gratitude, is an active participle that highlights our response to God's work on our behalf. As we grow in Christ and stay on track, God's grace in leading us should humble us, produce in us gratitude in our hearts. Thanksgiving is a consistent theme throughout Colossians, if not the whole Bible. And I believe Paul wanted us to get this. Our lives ought to be one that displays gratitude. But more than just having gratitude by ourselves, people can only witness that we are thankful through intentional expressions of thanksgiving. And two of the intentional expressions of thanksgiving is what we do and what we hope to do every day, and not just on Sunday, is the offerings of our praise and worship to Jesus. And secondly, through our acts of kindness to others. I love what Tim Keller said on this topic. It is one thing to be grateful. It is another thing to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do. So there you have it. Gratitude is incomplete if it goes unexpressed. So this coming year, is this an area that you need to build deeper still? Would you ask the Lord to build you deeper, a heart overflowing with gratitude, with expressing itself in thanksgiving, in our worship of Him, and of being kind to others? What area do you need to build deeper still in the Lord? Could it be the word that come to me for the past few days when I stand with some of you in prayer? Because we receive undesirable news, and we find ourselves in unfavorable circumstances, and we are robbed of God's peace. Today, I want to release to this congregation this word, trust. Resolving to building deeper trust in the Lord. Trusting that God holds you firmly in His hands, and that we need to learn deeper still what surrendering to God really means. Jeremiah chapter 17 says this to us, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Build deep in Christ, building deeper still in Christ. And that is my resolution for 2024, to build deeper in Christ, especially for me in the area of obedience and trust, to hear God's voice and act accordingly. And that means when He says go, I'll go. When He says love, I love. When He says let go, I let go. And trust that He will see me through despite things sometimes just don't make good sense at that time. Especially when He says, slow down, Alexa. I should most probably slow down. And God sometimes sends people to get His message across. I had a meeting with Elder Chi Yen and Gong Bing last Friday morning in a cafe in Starling, and I arrived earlier. Anyway, I always arrive earlier than both of them. So I walk in straight, and as I walk, I look at the barista and I say, "One cappuccino, please, thank you," and be seated, turn on my computer and started to do work. And when my cappuccino come 5 or 10 minutes later, and of all the coffee art that could be drawn that day, he drew a snail. Then I look at him, "Oh," I say, "Oh." Then he say, "Yes, it's a snail. Slow down, miss." Is barista supposed to do that kind of thing? Some of you have complained that I talk fast, walk fast, especially eat fast. Faster cannot eat fast. You cannot taste what you're eating. Not true. I can. I just taste faster than most of you. But seriously, I felt that God's word for me this year is build deeper, not faster. Whether it's gardening or building, depth and strength are more important than speed, especially if it's to last long. You just can't hurry plants to grow, can we? You got to give time for depth. Elder Daniel on the watch night service ended his sharing from Isaiah chapter 52. Verse 12, to focus us as we enter the new year. And he says this, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight." I felt a bit attacked because I felt he was talking to me. Slow down. Don't do things in hurry. Don't gan-gan-jong-jong go through life. Devote time to first seek God and his counsel before anything else. Do not compensate death, especially things of eternal value that really cannot be quickened. An example that all of us can testify would be prayer. We hurried our prayers and fast, fast, amen, and then we wonder how come God never speak. Pray fast, fast, and expect God to answer. Not that God cannot speak despite the speed, but if prayer is more about building intimacy with him, who longs for us to draw near to him, then we don't do speed dating or touch and go with our Lord Jesus. We make time for that friendship to develop. Build deeper, not faster. Today, at the start of a new year, standing before PJFC congregation online and on site, I invite you to join me in doing so. Of course, if you're already naturally slow in nature, this may not apply. But the area that the Lord is encouraging you to build deeper might be a totally different area from mine and from others. It's okay. It is not a competition. Listen to God's voice nudging you on areas you need to build deeper in him. And I ask you to go further. Share with someone, your CG members, your spouse, or your friend, so to keep you accountable in not remaining in the mode of stagnancy, but growth in increasing measure. Ask the worship team to come and sing one of my favorite songs, Building Deeper in Jesus Christ. Let's build a deeper love for Jesus. And as he convicts your heart this morning, I would like you, as you sing along, to stand where you are and commit to God, who searches our hearts and reveals deep things to us. Areas of our life, we need to allow him to mold, to shape, to correct, and further refine. I'd like you to sit and listen to the song and worship along if God convicts your heart of an area that you really need to build deep. Would you stand and say, "Lord, I believe you are speaking to me. I want to build deeper still in this area. I don't want to remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to grow. I want to grow leaps and bounds in you, Lord. I want to live my life for you."
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.